If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 10 this morning, where we'll begin. The message I want to bring to you this morning is having great faith. You know, we are to live by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I want to do something, and if I want to do it according to God's will and His way and what's pleasing to Him, I want to do it the best I can. I want to do the way He would be pleasing to Him and the way He wants me to do it. And I believe that, you know, God wants us to have great faith in Him. He wants us to be just established in Him and secure in Him and confident in Him. So in Matthew 8, 5 through 10, we begin with verse 5. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that You should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" I want to read, he makes a comment, not even in Israel, if there's anyone when he came that should recognize him, who he was and where he came from. It should have been his own people in Israel. But he said, not even in Israel have I seen such great faith. See, the centurion, he understood a couple of things. Number one, he understood the power and the authority of words. We talk about this a lot. You know, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think if we would finally and somehow really get a hold of what we say means something, to the good or to the bad. You know, we can speak faith negative as well. We can speak faith positive. We can speak faith according to the world of, or we can speak faith according to the Word of God. And the centurion, he acknowledged one thing. He said, "I'm a man under authority. I'm a man under authority." Before he's talking about how much authority he had, he acknowledged that he was a man under authority and had people under him. And I know if you've ever took any leadership profiles, a lot of companies, and I've took these before, and they are beneficial to a company if you've took a profile and it describes what kind of personality you have, whether you're, and they help place you with people to work with. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to put two goal-minded people together to work together. See, I'm a goal-minded person. That's, you know, I want to get the job done. Then you can't, it's hard for me to work with someone that's detail oriented because they want to work it all out. I want to get started, but they want to work things out before they even get started. I'll work it out as I get to it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that I don't realize and know my steps I need to take. It's just I'm not worried about all that little fine detail in between them. So I understand the centurion here. And I've worked with people I thought that would make a good person in charge, and they just don't want to. They don't want to tell people what to do. They don't want to take that responsibility. They just rather stay back. And so I think those are the kind, and I'm just giving my opinion here, that are hard to, when it comes to speaking the word and taking authority, may have a problem with it. So I think if you're that kind,
try and work to, because if you do not understand that you have the power and the authority of the name of Jesus to come against some things that's coming, that is attacking you, you're liable to lay back too much. You're liable to hold back too much on taking the authority of the Word of God and speaking it over your situation, over your circumstance. If there's a need in your life and you have something that you need to be able to speak the Word of God and believe, the centurion, the reason Jesus said that he had such great faith is because he did not have to see evidence. He said, speak the Word. He said, all I've got to do is speak to these people. I speak to my servant. I speak to this one. All you have to do, because I know that you are a man of authority and you are a man of power. So all you have to do, you don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is just speak the Word. So whenever we can take and look at the Word of God and say, all I've got to do is stand upon the Word of God, and I don't need no evidence. I don't have to go. I'm not going to use my five senses, my senses. I don't have to see. I don't have to hear. I don't have to feel nothing. Amen. I don't have to be able to touch it to know that the Word of God works. I used to have a bad habit. God kind of convicted me of it. See, I was speaking a word in faith. I would speak to something, but then I was looking for the results of it. But see, when we speak it, we don't have to see. You know, I meant it in well, because I wanted to see what I'm believing come to pass, be manifested. But he said, just speak the Word and then believe it. Let me go to John 20:29. This is where Jesus was talking to Thomas. And Thomas, you know, he would not believe Jesus was still alive. And he says, unless I touch him, unless I put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand and I put my hand in his side and I see the prints in his feet where the nails were, he says, I won't believe. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, the great faith accepts the Word alone without any evidence. So when we just take and look at whatever the Word says about the situation, you can always find something that whatever you're going through, the Word of God is going to cover it. It's going to tell you what you need to do. It's going to tell you how you need to go. So if we just look at it and take it by the Word and not try to rationalize it, spiritualize it, analyze it, just accept it. In Matthew 4:4, this is where Jesus is being tempted. And the devil told him, he told him to turn those stones into bread, loaves of bread, if he was the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, faith is perceiving that the Word of God is true when it does not agree with our senses. So, you know, we're going to speak the Word of God. It might not agree with your natural senses. You know, sometimes it might hard to be say, I'm healed, when you can't hold your head up. But it may be hard to say, all my needs are met according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus, when you're broke. See, sometimes it just don't agree with the way the situations look. See, our body, when our mind is always, I tell you this all the time, our mind is always going to take care of the flesh. Its job is to take care of this body. But I love the Word of God, because you have to get outside of your physical senses if you're ever going to just be able to take the Word of God at His Word and believe it. What it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we've got to fight against our physical senses to be able to get over into having the faith that God wants us to have. But I tell you all the time, you know, God wants us to have a victorious life. And it means that we're not going to have a life that has no troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him through all of them. God is always, he is a present help in our time of need. Now, I like having a present help. But somebody, you know what? We don't ask him for it. We want to work it out ourselves. Instead of just pausing, we want to jump into action. And say, Lord, you are my present help. I know you're going to help me. I know you're going to lead me. I know you're going to guide me through this. I know this is not an everlasting thing. This is temporary. And I thank you. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. In Mark 11, 24, we talked about this verse here in the past few weeks. Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. He said, if you believe when you pray that you received it. See, what I was talking about a while ago, I would believe something. I would believe in God for this, but then I start looking for it. See, I wasn't believing I already had it. See, it's hard for us to believe that we already received it. When we pray and we believe it, that I've received it. And I start to believe, I have it. I may not have it manifested, but I believe I have it. And he said, it will happen. It will happen. See, Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. And you know, in those translations, says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, hope always points to the future. What I hope for is out there. But see, faith gives me the strength to get me to it. You understand? Hope points to the future. Faith gets me there. Faith keeps me strong. Faith keeps me believing. Faith keeps me trusting. Faith is what it helps me to have victory over all the obstacles between believing and receiving. Hebrews 4:14. So since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Let us hold firmly, because Jesus, 1 John in his chapter 1, he said, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is our advocate. He is in heaven, sits at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, pleading our case before God. I told you that the word advocate is like a lawyer term. It's a legal term. If you ever have to go to court and you have a defense attorney, he is your advocate. That prosecutor that seems like he hates you more than anybody else in the world, he is against you. He does not like you. But your advocate, your lawyer, he is there to represent you. Jesus is our advocate. He is in heaven. Listen, he is in heaven representing us. Every time that you might fall and make a mistake or waver a little, Jesus is there making intercession for you. He is there pleading your case while the Satan is there pointing out everything that you do wrong. See, and that's why I hate that when people think that God wants to punish you. For John 3:17, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. We were already condemned. Amen. Jesus did not have to come to condemn us. He came to save us. So we have an advocate. He is there. So we need to hold firmly to what we believe. To hold firmly what the God's Word says, and we receive that Word. We know it's talking to us. We know it's instructing us. We know it's trying to encourage us. But then our mind and the enemy and circumstances and this happens and that happens, it pulls at our what we believe. It pulls at our faith that we have, that we start with. So He says, hold firmly to what you believe. Because there's a lot of things out there that wants to take it from you. There's a lot of people out there that wants to take it from you. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. If God has promised, you read a promise in the Word of God, then without wavering, don't waver from it. Don't let things cause you to waver, to stumble, to I just give up. That's what the enemy wants you to hear. I give up. He won. When you give up, he won. I hate losing. Hannah hates losing. I always hate losing. Get to where you hate losing. Hold firmly to what you believe. Hebrews 10, let's see. Romans 4, 20 through 21. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise, for in fact his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever He promises. Amen. I was at a church we attended before we came here, and the choir was singing, God is able. Up there, just worshiping God in there. And God spoke to me, and He said, a lot of people know that I am able. But a lot of people don't know that I am willing. Yeah, let me tell you, there's a difference. In Matthew 8, 1 through 3, it says, large crowds followed Jesus as He came down from the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached Him and knelt before Him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Know what God is willing. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, if we don't know what God's will is, we don't know if He's willing. There's a lot of people, everybody, even non-Christians, know that God is able. No one, and he told me, you know, no one probably say that God is not able, but they don't know if God is willing. So if you know that God is able and you know God is willing, then you should hold on and without wavering to what you believe. Don't let doubt enter in. You don't let things enter in. You don't let situations enter in. Because you know God is able and he's willing. And you know if he's able and he's willing, that he is also faithful to do what he promised. Hebrews 11, 1 said, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed God would keep his promise. You know, sometimes, don't let age don't matter to God. See, Abraham was too old. She was too old. Age don't matter to God. He told Jeremiah, he said, don't say you're too young. You're not too young. And we're not too old. I tell you, God can strengthen you. He put bones back together. You remember that? He asked the prophet, can these dry bones live? You think he cannot strengthen us? And I believe this. If I am willing and obedient and walking and working to do what he wants me to do, he will keep me healthy. He will keep me strong. He will give me what I need. He will provide. I'm doing this for him. That's his job, not my job. So Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. So do not throw away the confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. Patient endurance is what you need now. So that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive what he has promised. This is what we lack in patience and endurance. We get impatient. Because we move on too much. We let that go and just move on. Stop moving on. Hold on to it. Let me say, if you're going to move on, then it probably wasn't worth it to start with. It probably wasn't that important. But if it's important enough for you to pray and believe, it should be important enough to have patience and to hold on. It should be important enough to not to waver from what you started believing. Let God complete it. Let God bring that promise to you. There's a problem. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not depend on your own understanding. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Here's where I get it. Lean not to your own understanding. Back to accept the word. Just take the word of what he says. And don't try to lean to your own understanding. That's what Jesus said, you know, you got to come and believe as a child. You know, a child that is innocent will believe about anything you tell them. They believe it. So if we could get back to that, where we can just be as a child when it comes and believe him, but take him at his word. In the parable of the sower in Matthew, I'm going to read 13, just 20 through 22. Said the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Did you see what he points out? The first group, immediately they receive it, but they don't last that long because problems come in. Problems come in and it takes the word because they're not rooted enough in the Word of God to be able to withstand the problem, work through the problems, trust God enough in the problems. So the problems is take the word that they heard, the message that they heard, and the joy that they've had from hearing and believing, and now I got God in my life and everything's great and everything's wonderful, and then problems hit. Now they want to quit coming to church, quit believing God, and just go back for their own ways. But they know the worries of this life. If you let it, they can be all kinds of worries of this life. I'm sorry, I refuse to. And it's not that I'm not mindful of things that's happening or what's going on. I refuse to worry. There's no point in it. There's no point in worrying if you trust God. They're saying you're trusting God and then worrying is kind of, you know, not right. And the lure of wealth, I like another translation, says the deceitfulness of riches. See, those are the ones that think that money is going to take care of all the problems. If I just had enough money to do this, and enough money to pay that, and enough money to get this, everything would be all right. But it don't work that way. That's just like saying, well, if I could just go on this vacation here, I'd be happy. For then. Then the next time you went on vacation, you're going to judge that one by this one on whether you're happy enough. Well, I enjoyed that other one better. I like this one, but I had more fun when I went there. The true joy and the true pleasure is in the Word of God. The true word, true joy and true pleasure is when you know that you know that you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. See, Debbie and Keith going back to Honduras, somebody, oh, good grief. To them, that'd just be, oh, I can't do that. That would be torture. But it's joy to them. It's joy for them to go there and work and see God at work in people's lives. That's why we do it. Because we find joy when people find Jesus and make Him Lord, and now their lives is turned around, they're delivered, they're healed, they're saved. That's joy. Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. There's only one thing to be concerned about. See, I can just picture this. Here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. And here comes Martha. standing behind Jesus, kind of looks at Mary, gives her one of them number, and goes back to work. Mary. Martha comes back. Now she goes, give her a frown, you know, kind of sticks that neck out a little bit. And Mary just sits there, listening. She comes back again. This time it's... Mary just sits there. She can't handle it. Jesus, don't it seem unfair to you? We're going to get some help now. Make her. But Jesus said, Martha, you know, you're all worried about all these details, see. Some translation said, Martha, you are troubled about many things. See? Sometimes our trouble, our things goes beyond just what we're dealing with right now. See? Sometimes it's this over here and this over here and we got that going on over there. It's all the troubles, all the things that is distracting us from doing what the most thing we should be concerned about, and that is being Mary, listening. One thing I found out, if I started on something and it didn't work out, son, I'd just tear it all up. I just get so angry. I just break it, mash it, stomp it, then start over. But here's what I found, how God helped free me from that. I'm going to pass that on to you. If I start working on something that's not working right and I start getting frustrated and I start getting aggravated, I just walk off and leave it. I pray, God, give me some wisdom. I need to how to deal with this, how to fix this, what to do about this. I need some wisdom, and I'll go do something that I can be productive at. That calms me down. I'll go do something else. And then maybe later, the next day, whatever, I'll go back to that. And I will work on it some more. If it starts getting aggravating, I still don't have it figured out, I'll leave it. And I'll go do something else. Till I can go back and finally want, you know, I'll get to where I finally, through patience and endurance and wisdom, and fix it. And I feel so much better than just tearing it all up and getting angry and getting mad. And I can walk away feeling good about myself. So try that. When things is not working out so well, do something else. Go sit at Jesus' feet for a while. Hear the word. Hear what he's saying to you. In Matthew 13, 53 through 58. Says, when Jesus had finished telling these stories and illustrations, he left that part of the country. He returned to Nazareth, his hometown. When he taught there in the synagogue, everyone was amazed and said, where does he get this wisdom and the power to do miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just the carpenter's son, and we know Mary, his mother, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And all his sisters live right here among us. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his own family. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. I want you to realize what was going on here. At first they're amazed and wonder, where did he get all this wisdom? Where did he get all the power and acknowledge all the miracle, miracles that he was doing? Then they got offended. Then they began to scoff at him, ridicule him. And then what they said? They refused to believe. Don't refuse to believe. I just can't believe that. If you know what God's will for you is, and you know what His Word says about it, don't refuse to believe it. Don't let something enter in to make you refuse to believe it. Remember the centurion. Just speak the word. Just believe all you got to do is speak the word. The 1 John 5:4-5. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The faith is a decision. I can't make you have faith. I can't pull something out and give you faith. Faith comes by one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want great faith, if you want to be able to overcome anything and everything that happens and all the things that we go through, just going through life, you got to have some great faith. If you want to be able to always stand strong, always be that, have that light of Christ that we confess that is in us, shining forth into this world of darkness, we got to have great faith. If we're going to move mountains, we got to have great faith. If we're going to do what God has called us to do, we're going to have great faith. Because without great faith, we're going to succumb to troubles and trials and tests, heartaches and heartbreaks. You see, like Jesus, not everybody's going to be happy of what you're doing. They might be offended about it. You know why? Because they're not doing it. They may be offended because you may be getting more attention now than what they are. That's just truth. But let's keep our faith great. Let's work to have great faith. Whatever you're kind of maybe struggling in this area of faith and trusting God, work on that. And you work on that by reading the Word of God. You keep it before you. Keep it in front of you. Keep it always there. That it gets so strong in you that it overrides all your natural senses. That you, when you hear a lie, you know it. Because it goes against the Word of God. And it says, thy word is truth. Okay? Amen. We're going to stop right there.